In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So today we have another beautiful, succinct, elegant, efficient, and memorable collect from our prayer book tradition. Another one that was compiled by Thomas Cranmer and appeared in the first prayer book in 1549. And it really distills the Christian attitude towards Scripture. In the collect, we confess that, quote, our blessed Lord has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. You can see in this collect the peculiar relationship between God's agency and man's agency in the composition of the Bible, on account of which the scriptures may properly be called holy scriptures, the Holy Bible. As opposed to, say, the Wall Street Journal or John Grisham's latest novel. Great as they may be, right, we can't really call them holy, not least because we can't be assured that the agency of God was somehow present in the causal chain that resulted in those works. We can say that, however, about Holy Scripture, and it is because of that that we properly call it holy. Men wrote the Bible, but God caused them to do so. 2 Timothy, which in fact was the reading for in the daily office lectionary this morning in the prayer book, 2 Timothy, St. Paul says it like this: all holy scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. The scriptures, Paul says, are able to make thee wise. That's one of the main functions, practical functions of scripture. And I'm going to talk more about the practical function of scripture in a minute. But one of the chief things that reading scripture does for one is to make one wise, if the disposition of your heart is right. We might say then that scriptures are holy because the Holy Spirit is involved with them. Men wrote them, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit to do so, according to 2 Peter. Notice also that the collect says that our blessed Lord has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Basically, that means both the Old and the New Testaments. And this is a guard against a particular heresy that has bubbled up from time to time in the life of the church called Marcionism. Named after a man called Marcion. You might have guessed it. Marcion of Sinope, which was a town on the coast of the Black Sea. Marcion lived around the turn of the first century. He was born about 80 AD, died in like 160 AD, something like that. Anyway, he was responsible for a heresy that, lucky him, has come to be named after him, called Marcionism. Marcion taught that Yahweh, the deity of the Jews revealed in the Old Testament and the creator of the world, was a God prone to vindictiveness and belligerence and was responsible for much that is unpleasant in our world as we experience it. Jesus, said Marcion, was the son of a different God, a higher and hitherto unknown God. Thus, Marcion excluded the Old Testament from his canon of scripture and modified many of the sayings of Jesus in the gospel to eliminate any suggestion that Jesus had anything to do with the God of Israel. A number of scholars, incidentally, think that the Apostles' Creed, which we just recited, was originally compiled by the Catholic Church as a repudiation of the teachings of Marcion early in the church's life. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, right? The Marcionite heresy is actually pretty common today. You may have heard someone contrast the loving God of the New Testament with the angry, violent God of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. Some of the motifs of Marcionism have bubbled up in various forms of anti-Semitism through the centuries, it shouldn't surprise us to learn, including in the attempt by the Nazis to de-Judaize Christianity and to establish in its place an ostensibly pure German national church. Well, today's collect repudiates Marcion. Our blessed Lord has caused all holy scriptures to be written. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament, the God of Israel, the creator of heaven and earth, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, our blessed Lord has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Christian doctrine thus comes into focus, insofar as doctrine is just the Latin word that means teaching, right? And all holy scriptures have been written for our learning. Another way of putting it is that all holy scriptures our blessed Lord has caused to be written to teach us for the sake of doctrine. But Christianity is not just a bunch of teachings that one affirms inside one's head. The lessons that the Holy Scriptures teach are practical. The whole point is to live them out. In fact, to have your life transformed by what you find in Scripture. Every authentic religion, and we talked about that this morning in the Scripture study at 9, every authentic religion, including ours, is first and foremost a way of life. Doctrine is a part of it, but not the whole thing, and perhaps not even the most important thing. The most important thing is suggested by the phrase in today's collect, inwardly digest. Digestion is a prelude to metabolism, and metabolism is important for life, for movement and action and health. Again, Christianity, insofar as it is an authentic religion, is a form of life. It is embodied, not least in rituals and practices, the things that many modern people are apt to consider window dressing for the body of doctrines. But we get it wrong when we conceive of Christianity primarily as a body of doctrines. Primarily, it is a way of life, a form of life. And this, by the way, is one of the reasons I don't care for the phrase communities of faith. We should be communities of action, and not just in the sense of social action, helping the poor and feeding people on Christmas and so forth, as important as those things are. But an even more basic sense of the word action, we should be and be known to be communities of people whose bodies are in certain locations at certain times, in certain postures, in certain contexts, eating certain foods, refraining from eating certain foods, making certain gestures, saying certain words, singing certain songs, and so forth. It's that kind of thing that binds communities together, much more than shared beliefs. St. James notes that even the demons believe and they tremble with fear, right? Even the demons affirm the doctrines, but they don't share the form of life. And so they're destined for punishment. The very word religion even suggests this, by the way. The lidge in religion, religion, right, is related to the words ligament and ligature, right? A religion is something that binds things together. It comes from the same root word in Latin. A common form of life is what binds a community together, and that is what is religious. This is also suggested by all the verbs in today's collect, and it's full of them. Hear, read, mark, learn, inwardly digest, embrace, hold fast. All of these things are actions, all things that we are to do. All, in a sense, are ligatures of our religion that bind us together as a people. But what is the experiential fruit of this divinely inspired and scripture-based form of life? What does it do for us? The collect, again, riffing on the epistle, in fact, lists three things: patience, comfort, and hope. The word patience really means endurance in Greek. It's, you know, the Greek word in the epistle really means endurance. The word comfort can mean what it sounds like, kind of consolation and so forth. But you should also know that in its older meaning, the word comfort meant to strengthen, right? You hear the word, syllable fort and comfort is related to fortify, right? So patience and comfort is about endurance and being strong. Those are things that we are supposed to get from our engagement with Scripture. We're meant to be fortified and be made able to endure. We're asking that God would give us endurance and strength and an unshakable hope in the future that He affords us in Christ, who is coming. And why might we need strength and endurance? Well, because life can be hard. We get sick. We get injured. We become frail. Marriages falter. Kids go astray. We get into financial straits. We die. But also look at the second lesson. There are other reasons that we might need to be strengthened and be made able to endure and to have hope. Another reason we plead to God for these things is because between us and the glorious future afforded us in Jesus Christ, in which we learn from the Scriptures to hope, there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know, if you read the paper that we lit, maybe not the Times Enterprise, but if you read a proper paper, I'm a subscriber. I say that out of love. I sincere affection for the Times Enterprise, but I'm sorry for it. If you follow the news, you know we live in weird times. Wars and rumors of wars, perplexity, distress of nations, and all of that. It wouldn't surprise me, honestly, if things got real weird before it's all said and done, maybe even in the near future. Jesus said that Christians in every generation should watch. That was a word that the Lord used several times. Watch and be ready. Today's collect, again, is not just a plea to God for the things that it asks, but it is implicit marching orders to us. Our religion is essentially practical. Hear, read, mark, learn, inwardly digest the Holy Scriptures that our blessed Lord has caused to be written for our learning, so that we may have hope, that we may be strong and endure when we are tested, when evil days come. And not just be strong and endure, but look what the first lesson says, from which Thomas Cranmer was getting much that he distilled in the collect. The second lesson says, it's not just for the sake of strength and endurance and hope, but it's so that we might have all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's quite a deal, folks. Peace, equanimity, even joy, right smack dab in the middle of perplexity and the distress of nations and the stars falling, the seas roaring, pandemics raging, hypersonic missiles flying, stock markets crashing, UFOs landing on the White House front lawn. The disciples of Jesus going through all of that, looking up and heads held high, in peace, in strength, full of hope, even full of joy in the middle of all that, because we have learned the lesson of the Holy Scriptures. And because we are bound together by the ligatures of our religion, the form of life that we share that is not different from the mystical point of view, and the mystical point of view is the most real point of view, that is not different. That form of life is not different from the form of life that Jesus Christ is. Our blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, so that we may be strong, that we may endure in hope, that we may have joy and peace in believing, come what may, hear, read, mark, learn, inwardly digest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.